Good. Let's kick off this. Ethan, pleasure chatting again. You know, we met in Nairobi a few weeks back and part of the Ventures Unknown. And I thought it's good. We just have a discussion around your view about the African continent, the opportunities in the text. Maybe we could start with a little bit of brief. How was your trip to Nairobi?
The trip was, I was just saying, is inspiring and electric. I mean, Nairobi is such a wonderful place. I mean, the people, the weather, the environment, the spaces, you know, everything. It's so green. So I don't know, like, I find it to be a wonderful place to work and operate. But I was saying, you know, I think if you look back in the history of time, I mean, there are periods of time, you know, a decade, two decades, where being in a particular city at a particular time would be magical. And I think Nairobi, it's really, I think it is that decade, you know, given what's happening on the continent itself, the huge growth in the youth population. And then, of course, like as it relates to the growth in the startup ecosystem, and it's just like an economic engine, you know, there's no place in the world I'd rather be. So it's always wonderful to be there.
Great. Maybe for our audience who don't know much about Ventures Unknown and what you do, could you maybe briefly explain why Ventures Unknown and your experience traveling across different countries and how that influenced your investment philosophy?
Yeah. So, you know, Ventures Unknown is an organization with a mission to build connection to and between emerging tech ecosystems and access to capital. And you know, the reason really is that I have a belief that talent is distributed, but capital is not. And this was in part by my own experiences. You know, I've traveled to over 74 countries and I've invested in over 100 companies, and about 60% of companies I've invested in is in what I would say are emerging tech ecosystems. And there's a couple of reasons why that gravitates towards me. And really, like, three main points are: one, I just find the founders to have a level of resiliency and grit and authenticity that actually don't come by as much in a place like maybe Silicon Valley or a more mature ecosystem. They're solving real problems. You know, I say there's no dog walking apps that are coming out of Nairobi. You know, it's focused on food tech, health tech, fintech, things that really impact people's lives. They say that in Silicon Valley, I think startups make life 90% better for 10% of the population. But in a place like Nairobi, an ecosystem makes life 10% better for 90% of the population. And so that really resonated with me. You know, and in the last, as an investor and someone whose job is to return capital to their LPs, you know, I just think there's a lot of opportunity that's still an arbitrage opportunity, in a sense of there being a lot of really good startups that, you know, more and more are getting noticed and getting funded, but there's still a long way to go. So for that reason, you know, I founded Ventures Unknown, and we fulfill our mission in three ways. One is through these experiences where we take early stage investors from around the world. And every 2 months, we go to a different emerging ecosystem, 3 days on the ground, meeting with all parts of the ecosystem in a more conversational or dialogue-based format. So it's no big conference. It's like a small 60 people around tables of eight having a conversation on different themes. The second way we do it is investment. So we both invest in fund-to-funds. Like, we're a fund-to-fund that invests in emerging funds through direct investments. And the last is media. So this hasn't come out so much yet, but we're working on a couple television show that would kind of showcase these emerging ecosystems in a fun way. Think like Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, but Ventures Unknown with, I don't know, some famous celebrity.
Yeah, great comparison around the startup ecosystem here compared to the emerging market. Just curious to know, from your trip to Africa recently, could you share some of the most, in your view, the most innovative startups that you encountered during the trip, and what you think makes them stand out from the crowd?
Well, so a couple of things. One is, if you ask me, first question, sort of thinking about the ecosystem and compared to others, you know, what's interesting, you know, you have different parts of every ecosystem. You've got the first-time founders, the seasoned founders, you have these incubators and accelerators, you have angel capital, you have growth capital, you have government regulation. You know, you kind of probably say there's like 12 parts to an ecosystem: education, university. And you look and it's like, you know, what makes Silicon Valley maybe Silicon Valley is that all of those are like a Ferrari. You know, they're all amazing and very mature. Emerging ecosystem, you know, different parts have different levels of maturity. There's a lot of similarities, I say, between, you know, Bogota and Nairobi, for example, much more so than Nairobi and London or the US. If I looked at Nairobi, I think actually, like, maturity of founders across the board, it's really strong. I think government sort of support regulation, I mean, it's growing, but there's an eagerness there to really help. You know, I think that the early stage kind of incubation accelerator sectors is good. Yeah, I think areas, I think the flywheel that needs to happen, and you have kind of maybe more like seed level capital, but the hard part is the growth level capital and the early stages capital. And that's where when you get founders who have had a couple exits, who start companies, like, and you have more angel investors, more operators investing at the early stages, that's when you see the flywheel. That was the one thing that stood out in Nairobi that needs to happen, right? We need Cellulant, Market Force, or someone else to have an exit to kind of get more people angel investing in the ecosystem. But looking at the ecosystem, you know, I mean, one, it's the founders just across the board, like so many incredible ones, like just very, very impressive local founders. Faces that stand out is e-mobility. So we met with Rome, and I know there's Ampersand out of Rwanda is growing presence there. Like, I think as a sector, like e-mobility space is really interesting and quite innovative. I'd say more innovative than I've seen in the US. I mean, ag tech is another one. Sun Culture is a company that we met with that really stood out to me. And then, of course, you have someone like, we met Ken from Cellulant, who I know now has moved on, but I mean, amazing person in what he's done, and Tesh from Cellulant, from Market Force. So kind of, you know, like what they're doing in the SMB space.
Yeah, I mean, those are some of the most exciting that I also watch closely. I mean, people I respect as a founder and I look up to them. And as you mentioned, a lot needs to happen from some of these exits, then this will translate to people then investing in early stage startups and guiding them in their startup journeys. From the recent trip, just came to understand how part of the investors that you came with here respond to the opportunities presented in the African startup ecosystem.
You know, the hard part is always convincing people to come. When we look at investors, you know, we have different buckets. We have family offices, endowments, you know, we look at large funds and then also kind of small funds. What's interesting is you'll have some large funds invest on the continent, but have never been, or maybe one person has been, but much of their firm hasn't been, you know, or you have investors that invested through, let's just a Market Force because they're in YC and maybe one other company on the continent, they have exposure, but they've never been. So it's always interesting, but the hard part is getting them. Once they get there, I mean, honestly, like a place like Nairobi, it does the work. It makes my life easy because they're always blown away. I mean, I think there's always a level of expectation being exceeded, you know, that when you get on the ground, you feel it, you talk to these founders, you just see how mature and exciting and ecosystem is. I mean, even educated, well-traveled people, sometimes when they think of, again, like places we've been, Bogota, Egypt, Ho Chi Minh, Nairobi, they may have a lot of respect for that city, or I don't think they ever really appreciate the tech ecosystem and what's going on. And so I would say overwhelmingly, the investors were all very impressed. I mean, I always love to see investors who maybe are coming just to learn, like, hey, I'm interested. I mean, it's Africa, it's huge. I know nothing, but I know it probably should be big, and they come and they are always the first ones writing the check because they are just so excited and so impressed about what's happening. And so I'd say with this trip, I mean, it was very much that. The investors walked away already, I think, like 10 investments that have been done or are in the process of being done. You know, and I think the other thing, and this is something that we try and do, is it's really to build like the connection and understanding. So I'm just going to juxtapose it to a conference like we had, the Africa Tech Summit. You know, it's a large conference. It serves its purpose. It's good for networking or seeing people you already know, you know, but sometimes it's hard. You meet 1,000 people, you get their LinkedIn, you sit in on a talk, you get interested, but can't really ask some questions that you have inside of you. And so it's hard on the connection and understanding. And with Ventures Unknown, like part of what we want is to people really understand what's going on, you know, to sit across from the person writing the policy, to ask the questions that they have over a meal table, and then also to build the connections that it lasts past the trip. And so I think the other thing that stood out to me was the welcomingness and the excitement also from the local community to really help build that understanding and give the investors a sense of walking away. Like, I have connections here now, you know, people I really know, if I text or I call, like they will pick up the phone. It's not just a LinkedIn connection. It's really someone that I can lean on going forward. And so again, like, I think it was very much just the beginning of some of their processes, but accelerated investment already.
Interesting. Some good insights in terms of how some of these local investors can play a great role in supporting success of African startups. From some of these on-ground experiences that you organize as Ventures Unknown, I mean, how do you identify promising startups to engage during your trips? What do you see would be the best structure or process to identify these promising startups? As Ventures Unknown, how do you identify the most promising startups to engage?
Three ways. I mean, one is we are guilty of looking at, you know, who went through YC or who went through 500 startups, maybe identifying them as a starting point, which I know, well, they are some of the best, but not all. And they also are the ones that have a lot of, they don't need sometimes the help from investors, but it's a good starting point. The second one is we really lean on the partners. So we partner with Endeavor, you know, we partner with local VCs like a Flourish or a Chewy. You know, we partner with like a family office, like the Chindaria family, and they, and we kind of invite them to bring forth like the startups that they're excited about or that they know. And that's always like an amazing way to lead. I mean, with Endeavor, we had two events. One was like seasoned founders. So these are like the best of the best in terms of certainly kind of traction. And then the other was like a female founder breakfast, which was awesome. And so that's one way to bubble it up. And then the third is just like when you get on the ground and the excitement of Ventures Unknown, there's all these events, people hear about it, the community, it's small. One I hadn't known about was Fingo, which is like a neobank for youth. And a great backstory, you know, and that was one that kind of just from a couple of different people heard about and invited them kind of last minute. And so those are like the three ways that we do it. And sometimes that third way is the best. It's just, you get on the ground, you're talking to founders, you're talking to investors, you're talking to all these people, and you see who people are talking about, who they're excited about.
From this particular trip, what would you say was the most surprising, unexpected aspect of the local startup ecosystem that you encountered?
There's a lot of things that I learned that I thought were interesting, and some of the challenges too. I mean, one, I probably didn't appreciate as much Pan-Africa versus North Africa versus South Africa and the dynamics of companies and how they have to expand. I'll say a couple of things that surprised me. One was like the war on talent and how it's interesting there about how you have some technical universities with a lot of people who are teaching themselves. And then you have companies like Microsoft that are coming or Facebook, you know, that on one hand are helping to train up people to learn and be more proficient, a skill like coding, but are also taking talent away from the local startup ecosystem. And like some of those challenges, I think, was something that surprised me because, I don't know, in other emerging ecosystems, I've seen people really like they want to flock to the startups. Another was I saw a great graph, which I'll try to explain here for people listening clearly, but on the Y, on the X-axis was different countries in Africa, the top 15 economies. And on the Y-axis was population percentage in comparison to the largest city in that country. So if you can imagine at the top was 100%. So that had the largest city in every country. And then, you know, below that you have the second largest and third largest. So in Kenya, you have Nairobi. You know, in Rwanda, Kigali, you know, Lagos in Nigeria, all at 100% because they're the largest city. Then the next down and the drop went from down to like 30, 20, 15, 10%. The second largest, like Mombasa, for example, is the second largest city in Kenya, is something like 15% the population of Nairobi. So what does that mean? It means that startups have to expand outside of the country very quickly, you know, versus if you compare that to European or some other ecosystems you have where the second largest city is 95% of the population of the first, and then the next third is 80%. So you can sometimes stay within your country first and expand and build more momentum. So I think just the realization of the challenge faced by startups to expand outside of the country quicker than others would have to, and the challenges that come with that. These are all sort of challenges because maybe, I don't know, I already knew how amazing Nairobi was. But the third was around, again, it's like in the US and maybe mature tech ecosystems, we tell startups to focus on a niche. Focus on this niche, have a big vision, but focus on something small, do it so well, and you will gain traction and then grow, and you will expand into the larger vision or handling whatever, like more markets or more product offerings or basically more of the supply chain. In Kenya, it's like so many, and this is not uncommon in a lot of these, like, again, kind of emerging tech ecosystems, which is why they're solving big problems. But it's, there are so many things that are challenged that are kind of broken and that you have to really fix the whole customer journey. I mean, it could be supply chain, but it could just be the customer journey. You know, you can't start sometimes so niche because everything around it's kind of broken. So you have to fix sort of all of it. And again, just like, you know, the challenge that that creates, but the opportunity if you manage to do it well.
Are there any upcoming ventures and entrepreneurs planned for African countries?
So we will be coming to Nairobi again next February or April in the spring. So, I mean, that's a ways away because we just finished. We're going to Egypt in September. So that's the next one. And then I'm looking next year, kind of in addition to Nairobi, like where else to go? So yeah, Egypt in September, Nairobi next February or March, and then another one in 2024 somewhere. I don't know, maybe Ghana or Nigeria.
Yeah, Zambia as well. I mean, Zambia is a growing fintech ecosystem. West Africa.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah. Maybe as we come to the end of this, Ethan, what advice will you give to early stage investors looking to invest in African startups? How do they best navigate some of the unique challenges and opportunities in this ecosystem?
You know, I mean, of course, like in typical ventures in known fashion, I'd say like join a trip. No, I'd say like get on the ground. I mean, if we're talking about investors that are outside of an ecosystem that aren't familiar with it, you know, my advice would be, look, you know, someone had a quote. I think it may have been Benioff from Salesforce or Reid Hoffman, you know, from LinkedIn, who said like, basically the future companies are going to come from these emerging ecosystems. You know, I mean, this is where... I mean, Silicon Valley will always be big and always be great, but like real opportunity, it's going to be from outside of the US. And I fundamentally believe that that's true. And so if I'm an investor, I say, listen, in a way, if you want, again, a little bit more of an arbitrage, a little less competition, you know, and you want to think about it that way, look outside of the US and go. And then I'd say, before you have any preconceived notion, or, you know, or before you really decide one way or the other, visit these spaces, get on the ground, dig in a little bit, and it'll surprise you. So one, it's like the awareness of kind of, hey, you should look to investing outside. The second is to visit, to build that understanding and get that access. And then I'd say the third piece of advice is, as you start investing, getting on the ground, I mean, it's going to help you also be a better investor from an operational point of view. You know, you're going to better understand the problem at hand, and you're going to better understand the operating environment that the founders and the team are working with. And, you know, that I think it's going to, you know, enable you to help them more. So I guess, yeah, it's open your eyes and get on the ground, and you'll be very, very pleasantly surprised.
Great. Thanks, Ethan, for such an insightful conversation. We hope our audience will enjoy it.
Eric, such a pleasure. Wonderful to meet you. And you are such a legend in what you've built with an online publication that's really like the leading place for tech news on the continent.